sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Friday the 13th, December 2024 edition. Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us in this hour, for years, we've had Pastor Chatfield come on and talk about history, talk about the Bible, talk about the Constitution, talk about political figures. Well, he's got a good lesson planned for us today. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
What are you going to be talking about today?
The Battle of Trenton. I've talked about this in years past, but it happened right around Christmas, actually the day after Christmas, December 26, 1776. And it has to be called pivotal in our revolution, our battle for independence. At the least, pivotal. Turning point, possibly. Maybe the most important battle of the war, in a way, you can at least make that argument, that it was very important. It was decisive. It was decisive beyond beyond its size, because there wasn't tens of thousands of people involved. But
based on the date, December 26, 1776, was this basically the first victory for the Patriots?
Okay, it was the first victory after the Patriots forced the British to leave Boston. Yeah, we declared our independence. We were July 4, 1776. We were confident, but we had battle after battle that we lost. We lost the Battle of Brooklyn Heights in New York. We were lucky. Okay, back up. I don't believe in luck, but you know the phrase. We were lucky to survive because Washington's army was almost captured in the Battle of New York, or sometimes called the Battle of Brooklyn Heights. We were able to escape and to the mainland from Manhattan Island and Brooklyn Heights, and then the British chased us basically all the way from all through New York down to New Jersey. Forced us to cross the Delaware, and by November of 1776, we hadn't had won a battle in a year. We were lucky to survive.
Sure.
I mean, we needed something to happen. General Washington couldn't get the money that he needed from the Continental Congress. There were people that were saying this was ill-advised. We cannot defeat the British. And something important also, the enlistments of men who had joined was coming up. In other words, people were going to be out of the army in about a month or so. And without a victory, who wants to stay a part of a military force when it appears obvious that you're doomed to lose. Why fight?
And if you're going to lose, you could very well lose your life in those defeats.
Exactly right. But this victory restored the morale of the men, of among other things, restored the morale of the men. And it was because of this victory that George Washington could go back to his men and he could say, stay in the army. You see, we can win this. And as the news spread throughout the colonies, it was just much needed. Plus the fact when we captured Trenton from the Hessian soldiers, and I'll talk about the details of the battle a little bit on the other side, we got a lot of supplies.
Aha. Uh-huh. Because basically at that point they were running out. Interesting. Short break, continuation of our history lesson with Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second segment, continuation of our discussion. And for a point of clarification, Pastor Chatfield, Trenton is in New Jersey. Is that,
yes,
is that right?
Correct. It's just on the other side of the Delaware. The Delaware River divides Pennsylvania
and New Jersey.
Right. The Americans, the Patriots, we had fled across the river earlier because we'd lost. And there's a lot of intrigue in this. There's a lot of spies, double agents, people trying to figure out exactly what was going on. So that there's a lot of that.
Now, the crossing of the Delaware, that famous picture with George Washington.
Yes.
Wasn't that the day before on Christmas Day?
That was around, it was Christmas night, and they were crossing. The plan was to have a three-pronged attack on Trenton.
Coming at him from three different points.
Right. And this reminds me of the Battle of Saratoga, because the British, at that one, were supposed to have a three-pronged attack on Horatio Gates and the Americans, and it didn't happen. In this case, it didn't happen either, but the Americans were still successful. And is almost the case in every single battle I've read about. Things generally don't happen exactly the way you planned it. It's just almost never. There's always something called the fog of war. Things happen that is not exactly what you want. Remember, the Americans had many defeats. We were basically in Pennsylvania, hiding in a sense. Okay, so George Washington devised this plan that we were going to cross the river. The Delaware River, back into New Jersey, and have a pre-dawn attack on Trenton. But unfortunately, as is often the case, things went wrong. There was very slow going. Okay, there were two detachments were able to make it across, about 2,400 men. He thought he was going to have closer to 6,000. So he had 3,000 less men than what he thought he was going to have. But he kept going anyway, because there was no alternative. You know, once you start a plan like this, you just can't turn back. This reminds me of D-Day.
Sure. Eisenhower. Yeah.
Yes, at Omaha Beach. Once you commit to this, I mean, there was some talk that we were going to withdraw our troops from Omaha Beach on June 6, 1944, and you just can't do that. Then the whole thing is a fiasco. But so Washington kept going. Some of the men that were marching didn't have shoes. They had to wrap their feet with rags just to walk. Now, nobody died exactly on the march, but men, Americans, patriots, died later of sickness and illnesses that they got while they were crossing. And it was something that was just had to happen. We had to do this.
Now on this morning of December 26th, day after Christmas, talk about the mercenaries that Britain brought in that basically, I think, made up the majority of the people they were fighting, the Haitians. Explain that to people.
Right. And this was, by the way, this was talked about. This is one of the specifics in the Declaration of Independence, in the middle 27 parts, that he had hired mercenaries. King George did. And these soldiers were from the section of Germany called Hessian soldiers. They were Germans. They were German speakers. Their commander was a German speaker, and they were particularly despised by the Americans, because you would hire mercenaries to fight against us. Even Washington could see the bleakness of this. He wrote a letter to his cousin and said, "I think the game is pretty near up. We have to get a victory here. This is like being down in a football game by 6 points with 45 seconds to go, and you got 90 yards to go. You've got no choice. You have to get a touchdown.
Yeah.
You have to get this. The commander was a guy named Johann Rahl, and he had 2,400 men there. And so this was even Stephen in a sense. And but there was a lot of espionage. General Washington had stationed a spy named John Honeyman, who was pretending to be a Tory in Trenton. Anybody that was pro Britain during the Revolution was known as a Tory. So this guy pretended to be a Tory, and he had talked the Tory line, and so people in the community, including the Hessians, thought that, you know, this guy is a real good enabler. He's
a loyalist.
Loyalist. Mm-hmm. But because of that, he was able to gain intelligence and convinced them that the Americans were in such low morale that they would not attack Trenton. And he told them that. And that is the way it is. And
so they basically had their guard down based on what the spy was telling them.
True. However, he had other reports that, no, that's not true. They are preparing an attack. There's one story that while he was, the night before, he was in a tavern, and somebody handed him a note. He briefly looked at it and put it in his pocket and dismissed it, saying that there's a large force, because there were loyalists around. A large force is crossing the Delaware, but he didn't believe it.
Now, to be clear, who is he?
The commander here.
The Hessian
Johann, German. Johann Rahl. And
got
he did
it.
Not. He did not believe it. Or maybe he didn't read enough English that he didn't understand it.
He didn't understand it.
I don't know.
Sure.
Because one account talks about that. Actually, the account that I watched that on a documentary, said that he knew, or at least was warned. Now, here's something else that's kind of interesting. There were 50 men that were in Trenton who had, because they didn't know anything about what Washington was doing, they had attacked a small skirmish at Trenton earlier in the day, and they were easily repulsed. When George Washington found out about those 50 patriots did that, he was mad at him, saying, now you're going to alert them to what we're trying to do. He was upset. But
tip them off. Get them prepared.
Tip them off. But it was, but, and here's what happened. Rahl took that small skirmish attack. He said, oh, okay. Oh, whatever. It did happen, but it was so small we need not worry about it. And it, in a strange way, it caused him to lower his guard, and he just did not take it seriously.
So he thought the reports, the rumors, the information that the Americans were preparing a major attack, well, he thought that attack by those 50 guys basically was it, and therefore it's over.
Yes, and so he lowered his guard. And by the way, there's lots of things here, different different reports and intelligence and spies, and as it is always the case.
Sure.
I mean, it is always the case in these battles such as this. Before Washington's troops left to cross, so they left on Christmas night. They crossed the river midnight-ish. Things went much slower than they anticipated. Many fewer men than they anticipated. But Benjamin Rush came to cheer up Washington. And while he was there, he saw a note that Washington had written saying, victory or death. Victory or death. And those words would be the password for the surprise attack. Victory or death. We're going through with this. We're going to die. We're going to win victory, or we're going to die trying. There's no turning back here. Once you start on this endeavor, you cannot, as Jesus said in another context, and no man having put his hand to the plow looketh back is fit for the kingdom of God. I mean, man, we're committed to this. Okay, so the weather conditions delayed the landings in New Jersey. They didn't get everybody across till around 3 a.m.
Was that the particular battle, if my memory serves me correct, was that because of fog?
Fog. They started off late Christmas night in the rain. It turned to sleet, and then it turned to rain. And it was difficult getting all those men across, all the horses across. The men went across in boats. The horses went across in ferries. They had to be quiet. They wanted this to be a sneak attack. Okay. He thought that everything would be completed by midnight, but it was 3 hours behind schedule. And then he gets word that the other two people crossing other spots, they couldn't get across. Mm. People didn't have boots. It is said that the snow was turning red with blood from people's feet that were bleeding. They were so cold.
Sure.
But as they marched along Washington, and this is what a leader does, by the way. A leader can never lead from behind. He went up and down the troops, encouraging them and saying, we're going to do this. And one of his general sent Washington a note saying, hey, all our powder is dry. Wet. We're not even going to be able to fire.
Might not even be able to get it to light.
And then Washington responded with, tell General Sullivan to use the bayonet. I'm resolved to take Trenton. We're going through. Whatever happens, we have to win this. There is no turning back at this point.
Right.
It was about 8 a.m. on December 26th that they finally got to where they were headed, Trenton. And
to be clear, they only had the one point of attack. They didn't have the other two.
Now, they divided themselves up. The 2,400 men that did get across, they divided themselves up. They were hoping to have 5,000 or 6,000, but they divided themselves up to attack from different points. But it wasn't nearly what was in the plan.
Sure.
It wasn't in the plan of attack. So the attack starts, and there's some skirmishes out here, and is always the case, getting the exact details, and for me to understand all of that, the exact details are tricky. But there was, skirmishes that happened. Washington led his troops from high ground while yelling, march on, my brave fellows, after me. And they attacked. Okay. And they, in the end, the Hessians gathered themselves and defended the town. Now, let me just stop there at this point. And I was taught this, and you probably were too, that the Hessians had a hangover from Christmas partying.
Yes, they partied very hard. A lot of liquor.
maybe. I don't know, because I just read this morning that when I was preparing for this. I'll just read you this. Some historians say, historian David Hackett Fisher quotes Patriot John Weaver, who fought in the battle and supervised Hessians afterward, who wrote, I'm certain not a drop of liquor was drunk during the whole night, nor, as I could see, even a piece of bread eaten. Okay, another historian said, the Germans were dazed and tired, but there's no truth to the legend claiming that they were helplessly drunk. Now, I don't know. I do not know. All I know is it started off as a, when there were skirmishes, the Hessians had gathered themselves and they fought, but in the end, they were overwhelmed. They just weren't prepared. Now, whether or not because they were drunk or just sleepy or ill-trained, or Johann Rahl, their commander, who, by the way, was mortally wounded, and he died from his wounds, obviously mortally wounded. So there you go. And so in the end, this proved to be a very decisive battle.
And timing was perfect to get the morale back up on the Americans.
Right.
Perfect spot for Bottom of the Hour News. Short break. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, your award